our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be washed white as snow. In Jesus we are made new, and so we are given the invitation to walk with Him each and every day of our lives. Thanks be to God. Well, friends, if you would please open in your Bibles to Luke, the 14th chapter. One of the things that happened this week, I have a Monday and Wednesday group that meets every week to prepare me for the message and to help me kind of stay on target and say something that's going to be valuable to you. And after Wednesday night's group, I realized that there was just simply too many really good things in what we've been learning to go past it too fast. So I have decided to slow down a little bit. And most of you are saying, can we not please finish Luke? No, I'm learning too much to go past it. So it's very selfish on my part, I have to admit. And I learned some things this week that are so valuable to me, and I know perhaps valuable to you as well. So what I'd like to do is, as I'm going to spend a little time talking about the story as to where we are right now. There was a learning for me this week, and I wanted to kind of share that with you. And so we've been talking now for several weeks about Jesus' teaching that there's a narrow door, and that, in fact, not everyone goes through the door. And in that, in fact, the Heavenly Father shuts the door on the children that He created. And that's a reality. That's how Jesus talks about it. I was honest with you. I shared with you that I don't like that teaching. It hits deep inside of me in a way that bothers me, because I would prefer the door always be open to everyone. That would be my preference. But that is not what He teaches. And so I've learned to humble myself unto that. I'm trying to humble myself unto that. And then I shared with you maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago that God had told me to put myself on the other side of the door while He closed the door on me. And as I looked at His face, I saw Him weeping as He closed the door on me. And I've had a dozen people or more ask me why that was so important, that I saw that image of myself. So I thought I would share with you a story. This just happened this week, so it's very real and very alive for me right now. Now, I want you to know before I start, God has already slapped me silly. So there's nothing that you can say or do this morning that's going to hurt my feelings. So I'm going to ask you to participate in my story. I actually want you emotionally involved and connected in the story as I kind of go through this. So I had to go to Target. Now, you all should know this is probably not going to be a good experience with me, right? That's kind of generally how Target works out. So we're going to practice being emotionally involved in my story. I had to go to Target. Boo. Boo. Okay, so this is. Okay, now I like it. Now we're moving. All right, and the reason I had to go to Target was I had to buy a little tiny battery for Brenda's diabetes meter. Okay? So I know that you've never had anybody be quite as honest as me, so here we go. So I know that I'm going to Target, that I don't like to do that task, to buy a diabetes meter battery, and in my head I say, if she had just been disciplined enough during most of her life, she wouldn't be overweight and she wouldn't have diabetes. What is wrong with that? Come on, man. So I walk into Target to get this little diabetes, and I'm not happy. I'm unhappy about the experience, okay? And so I walk into Target to get this little battery for the diabetes meter, and there's two little old ladies who are overweight there looking at the same thing as me. They're both there to get batteries for their diabetes meter. Now, am I terrible? After first service today, all the women were going by me like this. That's even worse. So here I am, bad mood, doing something I don't want to do, and I know that it doesn't have to be done if my wife would have just taken care of herself. And so I bought the battery, I went over to my car, and I start the car, and before I moved, I ate two ding-dongs. What is wrong with that picture? I'm just being honest with you. What is wrong with that? There's a lot wrong with that, right? I'm your pastor. There's a lot wrong with me, all right? What's wrong with that? Do I have a problem? And you all know this, right? What's my problem? What's my problem? You can say it. You're not going to hurt my feelings. God's already told me. I am judgmental, okay? I'm judgmental, always, about everything, even you, all the time. And Jesus is going through these learnings with us, and the people that he keeps talking to, warning them that the door is going to be shut in their face. What kind of people are these? What's their problem? They're judgmental. You see, they constantly think of themselves as always being on the right side of the door. That's how they always think of themselves. That's a problem for me. It may not be for you, but it's like my number one problem, okay? It's why I still count cars that are stupid drivers. It's all the same thing, okay? It's the same problem over and over and over again. And so we shared that the Pharisees represent this mindset, me in the Target parking lot, eating ding-dongs, judging my wife, okay? That is problematic. And it's deep-seated problematic. It's not a surface thing. This is deep. See, it needs healing. I need help. And so Jesus, he says to the Pharisees, the judgmental people, he says, you're in trouble. Then he says to the disciples, don't be like him. He says all that stuff. And then he gets invited to the house of a Pharisee, a rich Pharisee, who has made a judgment against him, puts him at the least seat at the table, right? And while he's at the house, he goes at them, like vehemently. He just vehemently slaps them. Not physically, but he's like, you can't be like this as God's people and expect to get through the doorway. You just can't be like that. And then he turns to the owner of the house, and he kind of gets up and walks toward him, looks him in the eye, and he says, especially you. You can't do this. Then with all the tension in the room at that banquet table, this is what we talked about last week, one of the people feels the tension, and what does that person say? Do you remember? The person tries to break the tension by saying, isn't it going to be great when we all get to heaven? And Jesus is like, are you not listening to me? Are you not paying attention? He says, isn't it going to be wonderful when we all get to sit at the banquet of our Lord, the heavenly banquet of our Lord? So what I thought I would do, since I'm not going to do all of the end of 14 today. I'm just going to do a little piece of it. I thought I would start by giving you the target. Now, you remember that Jesus tells a story about the banquet. And I want to remind you what he says in that story. Who gets invited to the heavenly banquet? Do you remember? Everybody. Everybody gets invited. Even the people I'm judging. They all get invited. Everybody gets invited. But some people make excuses. They have excuses for not being in a relationship with Jesus. There's a lot of things in their life that leads them the wrong way. The only people who get through the door into the heavenly banquet are those who are invited and say yes. We need to talk about the let's say yes part, okay? So here's a picture. Jesus gives us a picture. He actually gives John, the Apostle John, a picture of the heavenly banquet. So I want you to see kind of the target. What are we shooting for? What are we after? Just so you can have an idea of the value of going on this journey. Chapter 19 of the book of Revelation, you can just listen. You can just listen to this, okay? This is John. He's looking at a heavenly banquet, okay? And this is how he talks about it. After this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven, and they were shouting, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for true and just are his judgments. And he's condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He's avenged on her the blood of his servants." And again, they all shouted, "Hallelujah!" And the smoke from her goes up forever and ever. And there were 24 elders and four living creatures that fell down and worshiped God, who was seated on the throne. And they all cried. All of the creatures cried. What do you think they said? What does everybody say when they get through the gate? What does everybody say at the banquet table? What are we all? We only got one word, guys. There's only "Hallelujah!" And we either shout it or sing it. That's all there is. Hallelujah. We get to sit at the heavenly banquet and worship the risen Son and say "Hallelujah! Glory is the Lamb that was slain." That's our job, forever and ever. Then a voice came down from the throne, saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants who fear him, both small and great." And then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters with loud peals of thunder, and they were all shouting, "Hallelujah! Hallelujah!" Because that's the heavenly banquet. "For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and the bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given for her to wear. Then the angel said to me, 'Write this down. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb.'" And he added, "These are the true words of God." At this, I fell down to worship. That is the invitation to the heavenly banquet. And the only way to get through the narrow gate is to show up and say yes. We have, as a church, for over 100 years now, done you a tremendous disservice. Me too. Leaders in the church have taught you something that's a lie. We have taught you that your salvation is something that you check off a checklist. You say a little prayer to Jesus, get yourself baptized, check, done. That's a lie. That's not true. Jesus never talks about getting through the narrow door that way. He talks about it more like the way he's going to talk about it this morning. There's so much more to it. You see, we have to, what does the apostle say? Work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because I can't help but see myself on the wrong side of the door. We've not taught you that. We've simply taught you. We've made it easy. Salvation, check. Baptism, check. Jesus, done. He never says that. That's something we made up so that you could feel good. And it's a lie. He talks about it like this. This is the 14th chapter of Luke now, if you want it. We're just going to read a little bit together. He's just talked about the narrow gate. He's healed several people on this journey now. And people are drawn to the miracles, as you would be, as I would be. We're drawn to, if I have a wife or a daughter, a husband, a mother, a father who's sick, and there's somebody in town who can help, I'm going to drag them out. I'm dragging them to Jesus. And pretty soon there's a very large crowd, a very large crowd that surround Jesus. And they're all looking for the same thing. They're looking for what they want. Now, I was a church planter, and I got to experience something that was really quite tremendous. I got to build a new building with a bunch of people in Ocoee, Florida. And 2 weeks after we built that new building, we had a grand opening, and our attendance doubled that very day. One day, boom, went right over 400 fast, just like that. And so I have an understanding of what it's like to have a crowd. I know what I did back in 2001. I gave everybody what they wanted. I know what I did. And so the next week I had more people. And the next week I had more people. And the next week I had more people. And I just kept giving them what they wanted to hear. I was funny, engaging, told lovely stories. But I never talked like this. I want you to listen to what Jesus does when the crowd gathers, just so you can understand something, okay? So a large crowd gathered, and being an awesome church planter, he did this. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus. Turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes after me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Anyone who does not carry his own cross and follow me cannot be my disciples." That's an interesting opening line to a large crowd of people that you're trying to turn into disciples. That's the equivalent of me saying, "There's the door." I mean, that's what it is. He's saying, if you can't do what's necessary, don't do it at all. He goes on to explain this, and we're going to look at this next week, but he ends with a fascinating illustration. He says, the last sentence of here, he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." You know, this isn't the only time that Jesus uses those words. He says that quite a bit, doesn't he? He says it very, very often. So it would be like me deliberately knowing something about you and stomping on your toes to get you to listen. Now you got a choice to make. This is what Jesus is saying. Everybody's got a choice to make with what he teaches. I don't want to pretend that he teaches easy things. But everybody chooses whether they want to believe or not. Is he speaking the truth? Is there, in fact, a narrow gate through which few will pass? If that's true, I need to know how to get from here to there. And so I'm following along with Jesus, and he says to me, "Ernie, if you are not willing to give up everything, go home now." He even says it like this: "What good is salt if it loses its saltiness? It's only good for the trash heap. Not even good enough for the manure pile." You have any idea what he's talking about? What is salt? What good is salt if it loses its saltiness? Is there anything good about me? I mean, real, is there anything good about me? I mean, I'm eating my ding-dongs and I'm wondering that myself. God's slapping me silly. Is there really anything good about me? And the answer, you're not going to like this. The answer is no. There's really not. Not really. I mean, there is only one thing, only one that will help me get through that door. And I cannot create it. I can't manufacture it. My goodness, I don't even know where it came from. But it's in me. And that's the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ that lives inside of me. That's my only hope. I have no other hope. You know, and I can't check that off a checklist. as if it happened on October the 10th, 1984. No, it doesn't work like that. That's not how your salvation works. It is, I wake up today and I do what God wants me to do. And he confirms and he convicts me as I continue to walk. How does salt lose its saltiness? You see, the salt that is in me is the Spirit of Christ. Can I actually kill that? Well, I can't kill the Spirit of Christ, but I can kill it in me. I can. That's how Jesus talks about it. The way that salt loses its saltiness, just spread it out on the table and let it sit there and do nothing for a couple of months. Just lay it out there and let it sit. Pretty soon, it's not worth a thing. You see, he's telling these disciples, this is hard for us to hear, if you're not ready to love him more than everything else in your life, more than mother, father, sister, brother, more even than your own life, if you're not ready to make that kind of commitment, it would be better for you to go home now and wait until you're ready. He actually says that. See, I'm willing, and I always have been willing, I'm willing to accept anybody. You're perfectly okay and perfectly fine. But there's a reason. It's not because you're perfectly good. It's because I'm perfectly evil. And I understand myself well enough to love you in spite of who you are. And if I can do that for you, imagine what God can do. You see, when you wake up in the morning, we have to recognize that he doesn't want to be on a checklist. He doesn't want to be something that you do and finish and you're done with it. See, because if you check it off and you get baptized, and then you kind of wander off and do your own thing, you've laid the salt out on the table. That's what you're doing. You're laying the salt out on the table. And Jesus warns us. He's warning these disciples. You want to walk a journey with me? It's not going to be easy. Because you can't just give me pieces. You got to give me the whole thing. He wants all of you. He wants a relationship with you. He doesn't want to be on a checklist. He wants to be inside. He wants to grow with you. He wants to mature with you. He wants to convict you and challenge you and change you. He wants to transform you. Why? Because just like me, you need to be changed. We all do. And when we begin to recognize that, we begin to have a relationship with the Spirit of the living God. And we are grateful. You know, the praise team is going to close. We have a couple songs we're going to sing together. This first song is so appropriate for what I wanted to share with you today. It talks about giving everything to Jesus. This lesson is difficult. This is not, none of these are easy. He is telling the disciples, you must be willing to give him everything. Heavenly Father, I come before you. I ask, O God, for your richest blessing upon your Spirit in our lives. I pray, O God, that if we are withholding, that we would let it go and trust you. Sometimes we withhold our emotions. Sometimes we withhold our goals and our aspirations. Sometimes we seek selfishly in our relationships to get what we want and fail to humble ourselves to what you want. Forgive us, Heavenly Father. Help us to be drawn near to you as only you can. So, Lord, if that is a spirit of confirmation, Lord, confirm us. Affirm us. Pat us on the back when we're getting more like what we're supposed to be. If it is a spirit of conviction, then, Lord, convict us. Help us to understand everyone needs to be transformed. Our desire, Lord, is to be with you at that heavenly banquet. Our desire is to bring as many with us as we can, to grab a hold of sinners left and right, and help us all to walk this journey of faith together. So draw us near, Lord. Draw us near that we might hear your voice. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.